Our talk today is His Beautiful Feet, and I really appreciate I appreciate all the services thus far, but Brother David, with his big picture, I really appreciate that. But he talked about God's first priority creation. We're going to talk about that, the new creation. And friends, we're going to talk about you, because you're part of this as well. I'm going to keep going. Growing up, some of you might remember Egemeyer's book. It was a Bible story book that my mom used to read to me at night. And so I learned a lot about the Old Testament that way. I really enjoyed it. I really looked forward to it when I was younger. One of my favorite stories was that of David and Goliath. So for a long time, that was my vision of David. That little kind of, I don't want to say scrawny guy, but small guy compared to Goliath. But that was what was in my mind. Until I know Brother Tim Krupa was in Italy, in Florence. We went to Florence as a family back in January, and I was able to take a walk through the Accademia Museum there. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this. The David statue, created by an Italian artistic Michelangelo, is renowned for its exceptional craftsmanship and attention to detail. The David statue depicts a heroic nude male figure standing approximately 17 feet tall. It is considered one of the most masterpiece Renaissance sculptures. Michelangelo sculpted David between 1501 and 1504, carving it out of a single block of marble. The statue portrays David in a confident and ideal manner, capturing the moment just before his battle with the giant Goliath. We had a guide, and she explained to us two important things. And it was that look that David had. David wasn't looking down. He wasn't timid. He wasn't afraid. He was looking for Goliath. He knew what he had to do, and he was going to do it. The other thing is his eyes, his pupils. If you look real close, those pupils, you can't see it so well here, but look it up on the internet. Those pupils are in the shape of a heart. That shows his love for God. That strength, that confidence, and that love. That's what we see here in this statue. The sculpture's composition emphasizes the dynamic tension in David's pose, with one leg slightly forward, his body twisting, and his slingshot held over his shoulder. Again, he was ready and waiting for Goliath. Michelangelo's skillful craftsmanship can be seen in a way he rendered the intricate details of David's statue, from the musculature of his body to the expression on his face. Michelangelo paid careful attention to every aspect of the sculpture, including its anatomical accuracy. The David statue is celebrated for its overall beauty and its artistic excellence. As we were walking into the museum, I turned the corner entering the hall where David stood in the Accademia Gallery. This is in Florence. In a distance, I could see David. I could see the statue down the hall. Many of you have been there. You've seen this. You know what I'm talking about. His head, his neck, his upper body were first to be seen. As I got closer, nearer to David, I could see his trunk, his thighs, and his legs. Finally, standing off to the side of David, I could take in the entire statue in front of me, from head to toe. The David statue was more incredible in person than I could ever have imagined. The level of detail is astonishing. The way Michelangelo captured David's powerful stance and the intensity in his eyes is simply breathtaking. The marble looks so lifelike, as if it could come alive at any moment. It's remarkable to see the mastery and skill that went into creating such a magnificent work of art. I can understand why it's considered one of the greatest sculptures in history. So why am I telling you this? The statue of David reminds me of the Bride of Christ, just as David is a type of our Lord. From the head Christ all the way down to the feet, all of us here today, the members of the body together, working together in harmony. From the head and the broad shoulders, David tapered all the way down to his ankles and then to his feet. The strong and beautiful feet, the earthly foundation of this wonderful statue and the body of Christ. This is what we will talk about in our short time together, the feet members of Christ, completing their course, completing your course, in order to complete the bride class and move us into the further dawning the kingdom of God. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Isaiah 52:7. We're going to read a little bit from the third volume, Thy God Reigneth. We read, the oft-repeated prayer of the church has been answered. The kingdom of God has indeed come. In the days of the present kings of earth, before their lease of dominion expires, it is being set up. The dead in Christ are even now risen and exalted with our Lord and head, and the feet members of the body of Christ, who still tarry in the flesh, catching the inspiration of the glorified throng or the group, who already have ascended into the mount, the kingdom of God, reflect a measure of that transcendent glory, as did Moses when he came down from Mount Sinai. The faces of these messengers shine. They shine with the heavenly joy, which fills their hearts and overflows their lips as they commune together. And with the Lord, go heralding to every nation or mountain to good tidings of Emmanuel's reign begun. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him, the feet of the Christ, that bring good tidings of the millennial joy and peace, assuring Zion that the reign of our Lord has begun. This is Brother Russell's view at the writing of his third volume, something that I appreciate and encourage with. Wonderful truths and blessings are these. The kingdom of God and its various phases are in the process of being established. The Lord Jesus and the risen saints already here and engaged in completing the great harvest work, with whom we also, as members of that honored body, as the feet of him, though still in the flesh, are permitted to be co-workers, to herald the good tidings among men and to apprise them of the significance of both the wonderful and the troublous events we must prepare for the way and introduce the glorious reign of righteousness. While the glorified members of the kingdom beyond the veil are doing a work in shaping the current of present events and preparing for the glorious reign, those on this side of the veil, including all of us here today, also have an important work. It is our mission to gather together the elect and to seal them in the forehead intellectually with the knowledge of the truth and our Lord's presence in his work, Revelation 7:3. To separate the wheat from the tares with the sickle of present truth. This work, too, is going forward rapidly, and all the faithful sealed ones are in turn busily engaged in sealing others, and soon the great work will be accomplished, the elect all gathered and glorified. I'd like to read a little bit more from the third volume. Blessed was the promise to the early members of the church that he whom they saw go away should indeed come again. And blessed has been the hope of his appearing all through the age to the tried and persecuted, faithful ones, who anxiously looked for his coming until they fell asleep with the prospect of awakening in his likeness. But still more blessed are your eyes, O ye saints of today, for your eyes see and your ears hear the signs of the presence of the long-looked-for hope of Israel. All of us today are in a very special sense the feet members. This expression is specially applicable to those who are living now, the last members of the prospective body of Christ, the church. I'm putting some pictures up there. I'm not going to say who they are, but I think you recognize Bud Quiet, Dom Destro, Brother Alex Gonzuski, his wife, and I don't know the other sister there. Does anyone know who that is? Who was that? Anyway, if you want to copy this, these slides, I have loads of these. My dad took a lot of pictures. Also, Jim Martin took a lot of pictures. I'll be happy to share them with you at any time. One by one, the feet class are passing from the present condition in which, though often weary and wounded, they are always rejoicing to the other side of the veil, changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality, from weakness to power, from dishonor to glory, from human to heavenly conditions, from flesh to spirit bodies. Their work will not cease with this change of nature, for all those who will be counted worthy of that change to glory will be already enlisted in the service of the kingdom on this side of the veil. Only the weariness, the labor feature, will cease from this change. They shall rest from their labor, but their works will follow them. Revelation 14:13. The change to these feet members will bring them into the same fellowship and glory and power already entered by the members who have finished their course. They will be caught away from earthly conditions to be united together with the Lord in the air, in the spiritual rulership of the world, to bless and treat all of the same of the glorious beauty and life of God's eternal kingdom. These various manifestations of progress that we see are just beginning. The new day is only dawning. After our Lord shall have delivered and glorified the church, then he will begin the work with the world. The passage from which our text is taken seems to indicate that those feet members, the remaining of the 144,000, would have a special force and influence at the present time. This seems to be applicable now in a sense that it never was previously. For the time for the kingdom reign is almost here, Lord willing. The time for the message of God is at hand. We believe that the kingdom of God is in process of initial steps, and the gathering of the saints now drawing to an almost completion. We see our numbers decreasing, this side of the veil, but we know what is to come on the other side, so we can take heart that the kingdom is near. With the completion of this class, the feet members, will come the full inauguration of the kingdom. But another sense in which the feet members may be understood, as is indicating the last part, the completion of the body. The Christ, head and body, has been in process of development during the gospel age. The head first, and we, the living, representing the feet last. This certainly is not an unreasonable thought. And there are several texts which seem to indicate that the last members of the overcoming body are mentioned especially under the term feet. Not in the sense of degraded or lesser class, but as the last of the class, relative to a time feature, or simply put, the end of the completion of the little flock. We are truly blessed and favored in this day, possibly compared with any age of the church. For though God's word has always been a lamp to enlighten the body, all through the dark night, yet it is true that in a special sense, it is given light to the feet, as we read, the word is a light to my feet, Psalm 199:105. We are blessed to be living in the time of the fulfillment of so much prophecy. We walk in the blazing light of our lamp, the truth of God. While the whole body, head and toe, has had the truth as a basis of faith and trust, yet we, the feet, are more firmly established by it than any previous part of the body, because we live in the time when the light of the past ages and prophecy have been and are being brought to light for our understanding and for our development. We have so many great pictures of the Bible referring to the class in which we are now, trust we are now members. In the 15th chapter of John, we know it was spoken about Jesus saying, I am the vine and ye are the branches. And what a beautiful picture that is. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It must abide in the vine. And neither can ye bear fruit except ye abide in me. Then in the 10th chapter of John, we have a picture of Jesus being the shepherd and we being the sheep. And how beautiful it is when he says, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. Let us see to it that we carry out that literally and absolutely, that when we hear the Master's voice and that we follow him. In the book of Matthew, we have two illustrations. I'll skip there real quick. Excuse me. And finally, and perhaps most inspiring, we have also the picture of the bridegroom and the bride. And we trust that we are selected as members of that body. And we hope to make our calling and election sure to be the bride of Christ when the bride has made herself ready and shall go in with the bridegroom to the marriage. It's one of my favorite pictures right there. Of all the beautiful pictures in the scriptures, I can think of none more impressive and instructive than the one in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 of the human body as an illustration of the complete Christ, in which Jesus says, "I am the head and ye are the body." Members in particular of the body of Christ. Then it goes on to say that the head cannot say to the feet, "I have no need of thee." Neither the eye to the hand, "I have no need of thee." But every member is important and necessary. And so every member is important and necessary in the body of Christ. And we are glad also to know that God has placed the members in the body as it has pleased him. And so then we have the picture of a human being made up of the head and various members, and how well that illustrates the beautiful thought we have in mind of Jesus being the head. We follow in his footsteps and try to make his will, his Father's will, our will. We let his mind, meaning our new creature, guide us. And so this beautiful and wonderful head inspires every member of the body to do his will. And we are so very glad and thankful for this loving and caring guidance, remembering, as Brother David brought out, the doctrine of free will. So we appreciate Brother David's thoughts there. Now we wish to consider just a few characteristics of this feet class. First, I want to talk a little bit about their position, or I should say your position. Second, of their service, your service. Thirdly, of their message, your message. Fourthly, of their protection, your protection and blessing. And finally, of their promised reward, your promised reward. Now, what is our position in life in the standing of God? Well, here, we're on top of the mountain. Remember our verse, "How beautiful are the feet of him that comes and stands on the mountain." What does the mountain mean? It is God's kingdom, and here we are on top of the mountain. We have our feet firmly established and positioned towards God's kingdom. Then how about the feet in relation to the people of the world? Again, stable and anchored in the service of the Lord, singing the praises and joy of God's kingdom. Now, here's a beautiful thought for us. God says that if we're not for the feet, this body could not be completed. The feet are the completion of the body, so we must make up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. And we must fill up this body and make it complete in him. So then we must not only fill it up, but we must carry it over into the kingdom. But in a more ordinary sense, the feet are used for several purposes, like standing, walking, running. And you know the scriptures bring out admonitions along all of these lines, that we are to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. As you remember the talk that Moses gave to the children of Israel in Exodus 14:13, "Stand still and see the salvation of God." And we have done the same thing. We have opened our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to take in the wonderful pictures of this great salvation which God has brought to us. And we are ready to stand still and see the salvation of God, which is being wrought out around us. And we trust in our own hearts as well. The feet are to walk. There are so many admonitions in the scriptures that we are to walk in the narrow way. And how narrow it is. How we all find it to be true that it is a narrow way. That we must give up all of our worthy ambitions, desires, and aspirations, and we must be willing to sacrifice all of these and to walk with Jesus in the narrow way. But let me tell you this one thing. That while the way is so narrow and difficult, it is always wide enough for at least two, my Lord and I. We rejoice in that. I am sure we all do. So no matter how difficult the way is, be always sure that the Lord is with you. And he has promised to be with you even unto the end. He says, "Those who trust in me shall never be forsaken, for I will never leave nor forsake those who put their trust in me." Then we are to walk in love and walk in light and walk in holiness. We must do our best to walk in harmony with God's will and for his honor and glory and for your own upbuilding in the truth. Then we are also to run. We are to run the race that is set before us in the gospel with patient endurance. We talked about that this morning. We are to run as though we were after that goal, the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And we are not to get weary or to faint by the way, but we are to run through evil and through good report, no matter what comes. Just run this race with patience and endurance, even unto the end. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and shall not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so no matter what trials come to us, we can get above them. And with the eagle eye, we can look across the plain where the carcass is gathered together. Here in Agawam, Massachusetts, we have the eagle's eyes, and we are here after the food, the spiritual food, which the Master has provided for us. So then the feet must not only stand and walk and run, but they must fly as well. Now, what is the message of the feet? What is your message to the world? Well, this is a marvelous thing, too, that as a remarkable way to get peace, is it not? Just like the old saying says, you are bound to have peace, but you have to fight for it. So the world is crying peace, peace, when there is no peace. But we can come declaring the message of peace, peace that shall sweep over the whole earth in due time. Peace that shall be marvelous in the blessings it gives to the world, the entire world. And so Isaiah tells us a little bit about this in the second chapter, fourth verse. Isaiah 2:4, he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Then there shall be peace, universal peace. What a great message this is of the truth of God's word and of peace to the earth. And of salvation. I went to Michigan State. My son goes to Michigan State University in East Lansing, Michigan. I think it was 1971. Brother Paul Malley, Brother Carl Hagensick, and Brother Tom Gilbert gave a public witness at Michigan State University. So this picture is extra special to me as well. Now then, we have this message of salvation. Do you not know that we have gotten the truth uncovered as it has never been uncovered before? In the world, we often see confusion and limited knowledge and fear, especially with regard to God's plan. But because our eyes, your eyes, have been blessed, and we can see. And our ears, your ears, because we can hear. We understand and cling to the harmony now of all these things. We have had them all straightened out and opened up to us. We can see just what the message of salvation is, and we understand the accuracy and love and discipline of the ransom. We understand the sin offering, and we understand the covenants and the true salvation, and we understand in a way that the world has never understood before the wonderful attributes of our Creator, of love unchangeable, of justice infinite, of power almighty, and of wisdom that is boundless and unerring. We know, as the world has never known them before, the boundless attributes of God, his power, his love, his justice, and his wisdom, all working in perfect harmony for the establishment of his kingdom and his new creation. Before moving on, I want to talk a little bit about actual feet. First of all, it's a remarkable structure. Human feet consist of 26 bones, 33 joints, and over 100 muscles, tendons, and ligaments, all working together to provide balance, stability, and locomotion. Likewise, as we have discussed, the feet members, the body of Christ, all work together for one goal, the completion and establishment of the body, to make our calling and election sure. Number two, arches of strength. The feet have three arches, the medial longitudinal arch, lateral longitudinal arch, and transverse arch, which act as shock absorbers and distribute weight evenly during walking or running. Likewise, our brethren, especially the feet members, are our arches of strength. For each and every one of us, these arches help to cushion blows and weight of daily life. Uniqueness, unique footprints. Like fingerprints, each person has a distinct pattern of ridges and lines on the soles of their feet. Footprints can be used to identify, just like fingerprints. Our brethren are beautifully unique in so many ways, but all of us follow and identify with the Lord. A wonderful sensation. The soles of our feet have an abundance of sensory receptors, making them highly sensitive. This sensitivity allows us to perceive various textures and features and even temperature through our feet. Of course, our brethren are wonderful and sensitive to all that goes on around them, especially that which is of the Lord. The entire body is directly connected to the feet. Barefoot connection. Walking barefoot, also known as earthing or grounding, has been shown to have various health benefits, including reducing stress, improving balance, and enhancing overall foot and leg strength. So many of our brethren are grounded in truth and in love. Each is a blessing to all that come into contact with them. Cultural significance. Feet hold cultural significance in various societies. For instance, in many Asian cultures, it is customary to remove your shoes before entering a home or a temple as a sign of respect and cleanliness. Our brethren and fellow feet members carry on the culture of our Lord and the early church, both in spirit and in deed. These facts highlight the complexity, functionality, and unique qualities of our human feet, and to us, our fellow feet members, showcasing each other's importance in our everyday lives. Some of you might remember Brother Art Ludwinka. He was over in Indiana, but he was a tall brother, kind of like me, and I would see him at conventions, would finish a hymn, and I'd look and I'd see him above some of the brethren. So he and I always had kind of a connection. You know what he always told me when I was younger? Take care of your feet. So every time I'm, putting moisturizer or something on my feet, they get cracked in the winter, things like that, I think of Brother Art. But when I was putting this together, I was also thinking about him advising me as an elder to take care of your feet. Take care of your brethren. So I always appreciate Brother Art for that. Let's see. Returning to the scriptures, we read in John 20:13 a little narrative of the earthly early comers to the tomb after the resurrection of Jesus. And those that came saw two angels sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Can we not use this to illustrate the beautiful blessings and message that have come to us as the feet class? Can we not illustrate this well by saying that the one who stands at the head where Jesus was lying was the Apostle Paul, who spread the knowledge to all the civilized world of his time, whose epistles have come down to us with light and joy and blessings and instruction and comfort? We are very grateful for the angel or messenger who has come to the head of the body of Christ at the appointed times and taught the wonderful truth of his word. But have we not another messenger come down at the same time with the feet class? And have they not been pointing out to us the truths of God's word in a more marvelous way than they had ever been opened before? Is he not the one who has made the servant over all the household to give us meat in due season? Are we not grateful and thankful to the Lord for his servant who stands at the feet of him, as well as for the angel who stood at the head of him? Let us rejoice in the message of truth, of instruction, and of blessing that comes to us from the beloved Paul and from other dear brethren throughout the ages. May the Lord help us to appreciate the wonderful truths that these servants are bringing to us day by day. But there have been members all the way down who have been comforted in this way, Should we not expect some particular blessings of the kind at this time upon the feet members? According to our understanding, we are now in the closing of this harvest. The head has been glorified. Many of the members of the body have passed beyond the veil, and only the feet are here. Only a few remain. What number we do not know. Perhaps this very picture of Mary anointing the feet of our Lord, as well as his head, constitutes a type or picture of what we may expect in this present time. And here comes a beautiful feature of the divine arrangement. We may all be of the Mary class as well as the feet class. In other words, each member of the body of Christ may to some extent serve the fellow members of the body, the fellow members of the feet, as Mary served at the feet of Jesus. Let each one of the Lord's true people, as he studies this matter, conclude that by the grace of God, he will join the Mary class and purchase the perfumed oil very costly and lavish it upon the feet of the body of Christ, the church, the true members. This will mean love, sympathy, kindness, and patience, and assistance, and comfort. It will mean large and growing development in all the fruits of the graces of the Spirit, who are combined, whose combined name is love. Let us each remember that while it is impossible for us to do as Mary did in this lesson, it is the privilege of each of us to do still more important things for each other. For the brethren of Christ now in the world, the feet members of his body. Hers was a literal perfume, and in the time it lost its virtue. But the little acts of kindness and helpfulness, which we may render one to another, will never lose their merit in the estimation of our Lord, and never lose their fragrance to all eternity in the estimation of each other. The little things of life, the little things, the little words, the little tokens, the kind looks, the little assistances, by the way, these and not the great things are our possibilities, our perfumes, the one for each other. I'm going to move ahead. Nice lesson about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. I think you all know that pretty well. This washing of one another's feet may readily see applies to any and every humble service of life that can be rendered to the Lord's people, though especially to those services and kindnesses which would be along the lines of spiritual assistance and comfort. How many blessed opportunities we have now for comforting, refreshing, and consoling one another. Today we do not have the opportunity of washing the little feet of the Master, but we do have the opportunity of rendering whatever services we can to the feet members of his body. Yeah, this is, actually that's Tim Krupa. If you can see the picture, he's actually serving me something to drink, I think at the Bloomington convention. That's with my mom. My dad and my mom at their wedding. I think it was here in Agawam at the house. And then Sister Marion, and then a few others there. So those are just some pictures. Again, if you're interested, I'll be happy to show them to or get them to you. Let us lose no opportunities of this kind. Let us, like the Master, not merely assume humility, but actually have that humility which will impel us to do kindness and services to all with whom we come in contact, but especially the household of faith. The Master is here and he will serve us if we sit down and let him. And then he teaches us the lessons that we must be ready to serve one another in this wonderful truth in a much larger sense than that in which he served his disciples. He served them by actual literal water. He washed their feet with water. What do we wash them with? What has he been washing us with? Why, the water of this wonderful truth, this present truth which we all rejoice in so much. So let us go out and wash one another's feet with this precious water of truth that has come to us in these last days. What a wonderful privilege and blessing it is when we can do this. By this shall men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. And this is the way to prove our love, by washing the disciples' feet, washing one another, and being helpful to them, even to the laying down of our life. Now we understand Now we understand that one of the rewards of this feet class is that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So since the spring of 1878, we understand that those who die of the feet class have been changed in a moment, permitted to share in this first resurrection and in glory and in honor and immortality of our dear Lord. What a wonderful reward is this, something that the world does not comprehend and cannot understand at this time, even when we attempt to explain it to them. If we are fervent in spirit serving the Lord, the windows of heaven will open, and he will pour out a blessing so great that we cannot contain it all. Will we begin to see opportunities that we never knew were there before? Our lives will become more exhilarating, more enthusiastic, and they will become very busy in this close relationship that will develop between ourselves, our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, and our fellow members of the body. Beyond these special servants, there were thousands of other brethren, each playing a role so that the body could grow, that by which every joint supplieth. What a joy it will be, if we are faithful, to meet the members of this group who, coming from many cultural and economic backgrounds, were drawn to lay that aside and have all things in common. It is with great anticipation that we can look forward to meeting our brethren from the early church. As we conclude our thoughts on our most beautiful feet, may the Lord our God be more and more shed abroad in our hearts, and our consciences be always tender. May we be able at all times to be circumspect in our conversation, and to scrutinize our thoughts and words and doings, to the intent that we may never be ready to be, to the intent that we may ever be ready and able to serve our Heavenly Father and his dear flock, the feet members of the body of Christ. And may the Lord bless us that we may each see to it that we run faithfully the race set before us, in order that we may do all the wonderful things that God's word and the wonderful instructions that we have brought to our attention would require us to do, and that we may make our calling and election sure, and that we may share in the honor and glory and immortality with our dear Lord and head. May the Lord add his blessing and overrule anything said amiss.